So here we are in week four of Bless already and learning how to serve. What would you do if you knew that you only had one day left to live? Would you spend all your money on something you'd always wanted to do but thought you couldn't afford? Would you maybe do something unhealthy or even illegal, knowing that there would be no consequences to pay? Well, this is what Jesus did. In John 13, it tells us that he booked a room for a meal with his closest friends, and then he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe and put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples, drying them with his apron. Now, Peter objects to Jesus doing this. As you might expect, in a culture where a person of high status, like a rabbi, would normally be given the honour of being served, not take on a nasty job given to the most menial of servants. But Jesus goes on to say, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so, that is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life." This was Jesus giving embodied teaching, literally showing them what he meant and spelling it out, not as he sometimes did with the parables, telling a story and letting those who were spiritually discerning figure it out. It was so important to him that it was one of the last things he said and did before his death. Jesus is telling the disciples and us that in the kingdom of God, it's not a question of whether someone is worth serving or whether they should serve us. It's a way of life for all of us who follow the servant king. It went against first century Jewish culture, and it goes against the grain of every human culture since. In our culture, it goes against the individualist, self-reliant values we live by, particularly in our largely middle-class churches. We don't ask for help, and we expect others to get on with it. So they don't admit to a need for help or ask for it unless they are absolutely desperate. We often have no idea what is going on behind the closed doors, even in our own street, or how other people we live alongside are feeling and really getting on. If someone can do something for themselves, then we let them. But Jesus tells us that our whole attitude and posture in life is to be one of looking to serve others. And like Jesus, we need to exchange our crown for an apron. So if we have our attitude and our posture right, how can we begin to serve our neighbours and friends? Well, it starts with the other blessed habits. If we have been regularly praying for people, getting to know them, spending time listening to God, then we will begin to know their needs. Dave Ferguson talks about learning how our friends and neighbours are doing in the four areas of relationships, physical health, mental well-being and spirituality. It takes quite a degree of trust for someone to talk about the state of their marriage or feelings of anxiety or of being aware that they could be healthier physically, let alone accepting an offer of prayer or help. So let's not underestimate the time, patience, kindness without judgment that we will need to extend to people to gain an understanding of how we can serve them. But as we serve, let's remember to access the power of God, as Jesus did when he ministered to people. Many times in the Gospels, it's recorded that Jesus looked up to heaven in prayer before he did miracles, like the feeding of the 5,000. He worked in tandem with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So when people have problems that we can't fix, whether it's relationships or addictions or health issues, we can always ask them if we can pray with them or for them. And if God does something miraculous, then he will get the glory. I heard recently of a guy who was invited to talk at a homeless shelter up near Manchester. He prepared a wonderful talk, and when he got there, he was so disappointed to find that nobody turned up. Finally, one homeless person wandered in, and he didn't do a talk to him, but he did pray with him because this homeless man had cancer. And a week later, he heard from the person who ran the shelter, who was really excited because this one guy had got healed of his cancer and was going around telling all the other homeless people that prayer works. And that person would not have walked in if it had been full of people. It was only because it was empty that he went in and trusted them enough to ask for prayer. So let's expect God to do great things. Thirdly, let's learn to accept help. When we looked at the importance of listening, we talked about being vulnerable with others so that they become more comfortable with opening up to us. In the same way, let's not be too quick ourselves to brush off offers of help. Let's look at it as an opportunity to start setting a culture of giving and receiving help. And let's not forget also that working alongside others to serve those in need is also a powerful way of getting to know them. Receiving and partnering are also tools in our serving armory. And finally, let's have some fun with it. You can be a secret blesser who does good deeds by stealth and hugs the secret to yourself. Or you can be a random blesser who gets to make someone's day by a totally unexpected and act of kindness to a stranger. And you can be a joyful blesser who brightens a life with something unnecessary but enjoyable. So go and serve and enjoy the look on people's faces when you do.